You are listening to Motif Mosaic.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning in. This is Motif Mosaic and I'm your host, Blessing. Thanks for tuning in once again and welcome once again. I think I had to say it twice because I'm so excited to have you guys and it's so good to have you here with me as we listen into songs and just share thoughts, stories, anecdotes, and lessons learned as I've reflected on music and as I've appreciated the words and what it means and just the sounds behind it and all the motifs that we explore all together. And the first song that we're listening to is Big God by Therion. And just as we get into the song, you know, there's a lot of things that we get wrong because of perspective and views being miscued and all those things. You know, I think about how on cars, if you have a view mirror to your side, usually there's a little note or sentence that's kind of somewhere at the bottom of the mirror that says that things may appear closer than they seem. And at times, sometimes things do appear closer than they seem without even having to look into a mirror like that. You know, it's something that happens when we do not have the right perspective on things, when we don't realize that we're looking at things the wrong way. You know, at times when we have problems or when we have situations that we're facing, it almost feels like the end of the world. It almost feels like there is no way out or there's no one to take us out of it or to make a way out of what may seem like a wilderness or what may seem like just no answer or just no way out. But I come back again and I stop myself when I find myself in these things and I just go back to the scriptures because, you know, that's where the answers are. And one that I find as an anchor is in Jeremiah 32. Verse 27, where God says to the prophet, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me?" And I can rest assured knowing that there is nothing too hard for God. There is nothing impossible for God, and that our God is a big God. You know, at times when you look at just perspective in itself, the closer something appears, the more big it seems. You know, if you were to take your hand and you were to look at a wall, the closer you bring your palm to your eyes, the bigger your hand seems. Even though you might be looking at a wall that's 2 by 2 meters, the moment that your hand is closer than your wall, your hand seems bigger than the wall. But in actuality, when you put everything in perspective, your hand is probably just less than a tenth of the size of a wall. And that's what happens at times, that we have these problems and we inflate them so much in our minds and in the way that we view things that we forget how big our God is. You know, we get so lost in concentrating on the problems that we do not concentrate on the one who can solve our problems. So our God is a big God. And just as Therion sings it, our God is a big God who we can rest in and know that we do not have to worry in anything at all because he is mighty to save and he can make a way out of any situation because that's how big and how good and how great he is as our God.
They think that I'm all by myself in this fight, but they do not know the infinite size of the God who is by my side. Hey, under fire, but my Goliath's standing in the shadow of the Almighty. I ain't lying, just testifying. Man, I'm talking about. My world in his hands, the monsters I face don't make me afraid when I know that I'm standing right next to him. Man, I'm talking about a big God, big God. When trouble comes around the way, only remedy for big odds is a big God. Ain't nobody gonna shake my faith. No, I'm not afraid. Throw my hands up in praise for the times that he pulled me through. I'm counting on a big God that they can't stop. trouble comes around the way. Only remedy for big odds is a big God. Ain't nobody gonna shake my
So the next song that we're listening to is actually a very clever imagery that's created, where we look at one of the places that I mentioned in the Bible, and namely in this situation, the name of the song itself is the name of the place, and this song is called Nineveh by Brooke Lichterwood. I have troubles with these artist names, so please forgive me, but it's Nineveh. And if you know much about Nineveh, it was the capital of Assyria in the ancient times. And nowadays, if you want to go and visit what is left of Nineveh, you'd be finding yourself in Iraq near Mosul in modern day times. And so if you know anything about the story of Nineveh, two prophets come to mind that God sent to the city. One was Jonah, who didn't want to go. He didn't want anything to do with the Assyrians, because if you look at the history between Assyria and Israel, at some point, Assyria invaded Israel and they plundered the people. So I can only imagine being sent as a prophet to this nation that counts as your enemies, and you have to deliver a message to them. And still, we see that Jonah did not comply at first, but he went and the people repented. But then we see a couple more years down the line, to say the least, another prophet is raised up to prophesy to the people of Nineveh, and this is Nahum. He talks about the destruction that is coming upon the land. And as we see, what the song does is that it puts us in this state of frame where God is speaking to the people of Nineveh, and he's telling them to turn away from their sins. You know, God is looking upon them and he's seeing the things that they are doing, and he's telling them that there is a judgment that is upon them, and that they shall perish because of their sins. They shall perish because of the wrong things that they do. And the same thing happens in our own lives, that we ought to realize how heavy sin is. You know, the great cost that it brings in our lives is just as Paul says to the people in Rome, that the wages of sin is death. Truly, sin is destructive in so many different ways. And I really love what Brooke does in, I think, the middle of the song. You know, at first she's singing about Nineveh as though it's very far away. And then she says, Holy Spirit, help me see where there is Nineveh in me. So just knowing that, is there anything within me that is hardened towards God's word? Is there anything within me that does not want to turn away from certain habits or certain things that I'm doing that I know displease the heart of God? Because at the end of it, it causes me to perish. It destroys relationships. It destroys my spirit, my soul. It just corrupts me from within, because that's what sin does. But what God is calling us to do is to turn away from these things and to come back to him, as he sends us these messages, as he convicts us through his Holy Spirit. So I hope that you may be able to search and see wherever there is Nineveh within you and turn towards God, because there still is time for you to turn to him. And God's grace is enough for you as you turn to him. He's willing to welcome you and to cleanse you.
Nineveh, oh Nineveh, the Lord is turning to or calamity. Will you heed the warning? Fall on your knees, tear down your idols, and you choose surrender, you choose survival. misunderstood your love. Forgive me, God, for running. You sent a wind, stirred up the ocean. Still I rebelled, my heart wasn't open. But when I prayed, you were there waiting. I made a vow to speak your salvation. Nineveh, oh Nineveh, the Lord is turning toward you.
So this next song is, I think, within my top 20 maybe of all songs from this group. They're called Isla Vista Worship, and the name of the song is Burn. And there's this, I'd say, Christianese term that we have. You know, we describe a person as being on fire for God. And, you know, when you think about that terminology, a lot of things can come to mind. You know, it's just someone being so full of love, being so full of passion for the things of God. You know, a lot of people describe and they say, oh, at this point in my life, I was so on fire for God, or so and so is so on fire for God. And we see it's coupled with outward actions. We see that it's behavioral change. It's them being faithful to the things that they do unto God, whether it's praying, whether it's helping the needy, or just the different things that they do in service to God. That's them being on fire for God. And what the song reflects on is just that whole essence of being on fire and burning for God. Because, you know, it comes actually from something in the Old Testament when God is instructing the Levites, and he tells them that the fire shall keep burning that is upon the altar. And basically what happens at this point in time is that it's during the Exodus, and God is about to dwell in the tabernacle. And as he enters in, there's a fire that comes down from heaven that is put upon the altar that starts burning over there. And God then gives them this instruction to say that I have put this fire in your midst. Now I need you to continue to feed into this flame. And the same thing happens for us. You know, when you come to God, we're filled with his spirit and he puts that fire within us. But we ought to continue to stoke that flame. We continue to feed into that flame. And, you know, it's an interesting thing to think that the purpose of the fire in the tabernacle was mainly for sacrifices and for worship. And the exact same thing happens for us. You know, we ought to continue to feed into worshiping God, into making those sacrifices for God. And, you know, we have a higher calling of sacrifice because we're called to live as sacrifices unto God. So each and every moment, we continue to seek to fan into that flame. We continue to seek to burn for God. And, you know, just one of the lines that always wrecks me in this song is that they repeat this sort of phrase where they say, whether it's been 10 years or 10 days, I just want to burn for you. Whether it's been 40 days or 40 years, I just want to burn for you. You know, we ought to always want to burn and be on fire for God, to not grow cold, and to know that this fire of God that consumes us is something that is so worth our lives. You know, to know that there's a great joy, there's a great peace as God's fire is burning within us, as it is consuming us. That's the kind of life that we ought to have, where we burn for God continuously and the flame never goes out.
Whether I've been saved 10 years or 10 days, I just want to burn for you. I just want to burn. Whether I've been saved 40 years or 40 days, I just want to burn for you. I just want to burn. Whether I've been saved 10 years or 10 days, I just want to burn for you. I just want to burn. Whether I've been saved 40 years or 40 days, I just want to burn for you. I just want to burn.
Myself listening to this next song, Home by Robots and Rivers, or Rivers and Robots, and you know, it brings me back to my time studying as a student. It was usually maybe when things were getting hard or when things just got uncomfortable, I just turn on this song because it just reminds me that this world is not my home. And at times we get comfortable and we forget these things. But it's in those times usually for me where I'm like, oh yeah, actually, this world is not my home. All these struggles, they're only for this lifetime. In the next one, things will be fine. And you know, it's a funny thing because I haven't been to the next home, but I just know that there's this longing to be in this next home, in this next place that is not my own. And it's really something that we ought to keep in our minds, each and every one of us as believers, to know that we're just strangers passing through this land. You know, Peter describes it this way as he's addressing to the people that he writes to in 1 Peter, that we are sojourners, we are strangers, we are aliens. Therefore, we should not partake in the flesh or the pleasures of this world, because we know that this is not our final place. And it's the same thing for each and every one of us, that we ought to know that there's a next place that we're preparing for, that there's another place that we're going to, a better dwelling place. You know, Jesus says it to his disciples that I go, but I'm going to prepare a place for you in my Father's house where there's room for us. So be reminded, you know, this is not the last thing. It's either something to comfort us when things aren't going right, as we know that this world is broken and things just aren't exactly how God intended them for them to be. But we know that there's another place that God has designed and has intended things to be for each and every one of us. And there is this place that we can go to. This world is not our home, but the next one that is to come very much is. And so it's a great reminder to know that we don't have to get too comfortable holding on to things that are in this world, because this is not the permanent place that we're going to be in. But we should always know that we are just passing through. We're just aliens. We're not supposed to fit in to everything perfectly, because this is not our home. We're just passing through, and the next home to come is a much better home, and is one that we can look forward to and work towards and prepare ourselves for. So as you listen into Home by Rivers and Robots, I don't know if it's you going through a time of discomfort or you having to be reminded not to be comfortable, let us continue to look on to this next home, because we are aliens here.
I will wait for you. I will wait for you. Knowing that you will draw near to me. Cause I was made for you. I was made for you. I was made to be in your presence. And here, oh Lord, I have made a place for you to fill. So come and have your way. You're the one I want. You're the one I want. You're the one my heart cries out for. And this is not my home. This is not my home. This is only temporary. Oh Lord, will never fade away. I'll be home when I see your face. Thank you.
read any of the Gospels, you'd come across stories and you know that as part of Jesus' ministry, he would heal the sick, the blind, the lame, those with leprosy. He would have encounters with them and they would be left changed and made well because Jesus had this power and authority to heal those that he came across and those that he interacted with. But something that I noticed actually that seemed to be a repeated theme or a repeated action amongst the sick was that they would approach Jesus and they would come to him and say, "Lord, I'm not well, make me well," or even not even talking to him. You know, there's descriptions that say that the sick would just simply touch Jesus and they would be healed or they would be delivered from demonic oppression. So there was just this thing that I saw, that there is an initiative that the sick person had to take to come to the Lord, to approach him and to seek his healing, because it seems as though that they didn't have to just remain in that place of being sick, but they got up to go and meet with Jesus Christ to receive healing. And so the title of the next song is Son of David by Ghost Ship. And the words that they use, actually, they remind me of the story of Bartimaeus. I don't know if you know him, but he's basically a man who was blind and he was begging on the streets. And then Jesus passes by and he sees that, oh, there is the Messiah. Well, okay, he hasn't seen him yet because he's still blind. But basically what happens is he hears about Jesus and it describes that he threw off his cloak, running towards Jesus and saying, "Son of David, have mercy upon me." And just that small description that a lot of the times I would miss, that he left his cloak, was actually something that I thought about. I was like, wait, if this is a blind man and he just throws his cloak with his crowds and stuff, who knows if he's going to be able to find that cloak if Jesus doesn't heal him of his blindness? Or who knows what was on the cloak? Maybe that's where he had collected some of his monies. But we see that that act in itself, pressing towards Jesus and throwing off all those things of his old life, were a reflector of faith. You know, at times when we find ourselves in positions that we cannot heal ourselves or we cannot do anything for ourselves, it takes that step of faith to say that, "Lord, I'm leaving everything behind because I want to come near to you and receive healing that can only come from you." Because at times I think we have things that God wants us to leave and put before him so that we can receive healing, but are we willing to take that step in faith? Because one of the opening lines of the song that is so beautifully put across, it says this: "The blind won't gain their sight by opening their eyes." At times we want self-help, you know, we think we have things in control, or we think if I do A, B, C, and D, I'll be made well, you know, I'll be able to open my eyes. But none of the blind people can open their own eyes or gain their own sight by their own efforts. But it's coming in faith to Christ Jesus that they were able to receive the healing, they were able to receive this change that they could not receive on their own. And so it's really a challenge for each and every one of us to be reminded that on our own, in our own strength, we cannot accomplish much. But when we put our faith in Christ, when we come to him with all that we have, saying, "Son of David, have mercy on me. I am blind, I'm lost, I'm deaf, I have all these sicknesses within me that may not be physical, but I know that you can heal me," then he will have mercy on us.
The blind won't gain their sight by opening their eyes. A king is coming to this city, and crowds around are following. If I could see, I would follow too. He heals the sick with his hand. As he walks by, they reach for him. If I could see, I would reach out too. The blind won't gain their sight by opening their eyes. Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David,
leave this gate, since I cannot see my way, but I can stand and call His name. No, I could never leave this gate, but I will stand and shout His name, and I will count on His grace. Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me.
So there's a poem that I came across, and well, I haven't memorized it yet, but every time I think about it, when I think about issues to do with worrying, and it's called Said the Robin to the Sparrow, I believe. And I'll just read it out for us, because it carries such a beautiful picture, and it's about talking animals. So if you're a Disney fan, maybe this is something to your fancy. And so this is what it says. I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush around and worry so, said the sparrow to the robin. Friend, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly father such as cares for you and me. And this is just a conversation between two birds, so it was imagined. And as they look down upon human beings in our busyness, in our worriedness, in us just trying to get as much done within as little time as possible, they realize that human beings are so worrisome. You know, we worry so much about tomorrow. We try to control things. We try to anticipate things. You know, we look at the weather and we think, oh, is it going to rain today? Is it going to be cold today? Or we look at the news and we see, oh, it seems like the economy is shrinking or it's growing, or there's this that's about to come. And we try to prepare ourselves. You know, we're always trying to anticipate and trying to be a step ahead so that we're always prepared. But we see the birds. You know, they look down and they think, do these people not have the same heavenly father that we have? Are they not created by the same maker who feeds us each and every day? Why are they so worried? Why are they trying to control things so much and, you know, even shortening their lives with so much worry that they carry upon their shoulders each and every day? And, you know, there's just this reminder to know that we don't have to worry. You know, Jesus says it to the people that he's teaching, that worry does not add anything unto us, but God cares for us. God is faithful. You know, he describes and he says that, look at the grass. God clothes the grass, but tomorrow it's gone. You know, he says, look at the birds. They do not work, but somehow they always have food. And so I think there is a burden that's lifted and a humility that we need to have to know that God provides everything, to know that he's the one who has made it possible for us to have all that we have. And so we should not get beaten by birds in this contest of not worrying, but we ought to trust in God and know that he is faithful, to know that he will provide time and time again, because he is our father and he cares for us. You know, the numbers of the hairs on your head, he knows everything about you. He knows even before you say what you need, he knows it, and he will take care of each and every one of us. And so as we close off this is my remedy for you, that until next time, try not to worry about what is next. Today is enough for itself. So let today just be today, and tomorrow cast it into God's care. So thank you for tuning in. This has been Motif Mosaic with Blessing.
Worry not about your life. Give me every fear inside. Seek to know my kingdom and you'll find your peace of mind. Will you add even one day to your life, by giving yourself away to things, scenarios of what's ahead, further along the road. Worry not about your life. Give me every fear inside. Seek to know my kingdom, and you'll find your peace of mind. Let today just be today. Tomorrow can wait, tomorrow can wait. Release control, for I have your best interest in mind. Look in my eyes, look in my eyes. Worry not about your life. Give me every fear inside. Seek to know my kingdom, and you'll find your peace of mind. Lie here in my open arms, child. I am the one who made you. Seek to know my kingdom, and you'll find peace of mind, a confidence in you alone. God, you are my future and you are my hope. A confidence in you alone. God, you are my future and you are my hope.
Thank you for listening to Motif Mosaic.